It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Shannon Bream.
I'm Tom Shalhoub.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, July 8th, 2022. I'm Evan Brown. Ukraine has yet to stop fighting. They fight with missiles and with drones, but ultimately, they're fighting with people. And the people don't seem to quit.
You've got a combination of educated, brave warriors, men and women. Their whole society is focused on ejecting Russia from their terrain.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
When Russia began its incursion into Ukraine earlier this year, Western leaders feared the worst, that Russia's military would make easy work of Ukraine's defenses, and that Russian tanks and flags would infest Kyiv before the work week would end. And yet Ukrainians picked up weapons, and even still today, despite heavy losses, are standing their ground. The West, and that often means the United States, is helping with its expertise.
What we do really well, we export training very well, particularly when we're providing weapon systems that need our trained support.
Retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Eaton once headed up the Army's infantry. He trained scores of soldiers, not just our own, but across the world. He joins us to assess the state and capabilities of Ukraine's warriors and how Western powers are supporting them.
Since 2014, I think we've been pretty well involved, and our special forces do both direct action combat and one of their primary roles, however, is to train other armies, and they're really, really good at it. So what we've done for the Ukrainians is provide basic, command and general staff, college training, how to operate, how to plan for operations. But they're also very well ahead compared to a lot of other armies. I went to school with a Ukrainian colonel back in 1993-94 at the Army War College. So but we also had a Russian student at the same time. So we train armies in our own school system, and we train them with export packages to go with the equipment that we provide. But because the Ukrainians are so innovative and because they are so sharp and quick, they are learning things, and we are going to school on what they are doing.
Wow.
And so it is a very interactive process. And at the end of the day, this is a war. This is a high-intensity combat operation between a former Soviet entity and Russia. So as you would imagine, every military in the world is paying attention to how the Ukrainians are performing brilliantly and how they're doing that. So it's interactive.
Yeah. You say we're learning from them. We often like to say about our military, it's the finest fighting force the world has ever seen, that humanity has ever seen, and that it's certainly true. But what do we learn from them? Because they're obviously fighting a conflict that we have never really had to fight. We've never had, not since, the British have we had to fight a foreign enemy on our own land. I mean, with terrorism, the exception, we've not had, standing army and battalions of troops, coming over the hills in Virginia. So what are we learning from them, and how do we as a military use that for what our military generally does, which is, fight elsewhere in the world when it has to?
Indeed. So the Ukrainians are integrating systems that in combat that we've not used in combat ourselves. The switchblade is one. drone proliferation in.
Tell me about the switchblade real quick. Talk about that. What exactly is that? Because most people might think it's a knife. So
okay, so the switchblade is a suicide. Essentially, it's a suicide drone. So you launch this. They come in different sizes and with different missions, and they have a certain amount of loiter time. I'm no expert in this system, but basically, it's a drone. You pop it up there. It looks for a target. It kills the target. And it is a relatively low cost, small, frequently man portable drone that goes out and will do what we ask it to do. We're also seeing how they integrate artillery systems with their command and control system, very different from ours. But they, the Ukrainians have, I think Elon Musk has sent up, you know, a bunch of satellites, communication satellites, web over Ukraine. So they are moving, they go from target discovery to rounds on target very quickly. And so they, you do that different ways as far as higher headquarters, clearance of fires, making sure you're not going to have unfortunate second order effects, civilian casualties and so on. But just how Ukraine is fighting this war with some new equipment and some equipment that's new to them. And they're very agile in how they're integrating all this.
That seems to be pretty amazing that they could be this agile. They are, I guess most people, when they think of superpowers and military superpowers, they might not have thought of Ukraine before this past January. So that seems to be a major accomplishment. Is that a matter of readiness on their part? Were they, do they have that kind of culture there? So few people know much about Ukraine, so we're trying to learn more about them. But they obviously didn't just sort of snap to. They must have been somewhat ready for this.
You're correct. Since Crimea was taken, they have been paying attention, obviously, to what the Russian intent is. And if you listen to Mr. Putin, he's been very clear, and he is doing what he said he was going to do. So the Ukrainian military has been preparing for this at least 8 years, and we have assisted them in that endeavor, and we haven't been alone, by the way. So it's a it is a country that is very well educated, very sovereign, very proud of who they are, and they are fighting for their homeland. So you've got a combination of educated, brave warriors, men and women. Their whole society is focused on ejecting Russia from their terrain.
You're listening to retired Major General Paul Eaton. He's a former trainer of the United States Infantry Soldiers, and he is with us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine. We'll have more with him straight ahead. So give your expert assessment here. How well is it going for them? They have certainly, I think, wowed the world with their ability to defend and to call it their stick-to-itiveness. I think the conventional wisdom was that the Russians would steamroll them within a couple of days and the Russian flag would be over Kyiv with, you know, by the end of the week. That certainly didn't happen and hasn't happened, but it's also one could read the room here and think that they can be and will be overpowered at some point. Russia does have more troops and more everything, and without Western backing, which may not be indefinite, at some point this war is going to end and not in their favor. Is that a reality? Is that something that could happen, that likely could happen, not likely could happen? What would be your assessment of it?
Well, President Biden has been very, very focused on developing and redeveloping NATO, and with a lot of help from all the NATO nations. So alliance management counts to your concern that will we grow war weary of what's going on in Ukraine? So we're working at as a nation very hard, and NATO is working this very hard. Yes, you know, Stalin used to say mass has a quality of its own. Russia has a larger population. They have the initiative of the attacker, and you've got a problem of intelligence assessment. So the Russians and a lot of other people underestimated the capacity to wage war and the guts to maintain and persist, demonstrated by the Ukrainian military. So the Russians, failure number one of intelligence, they underestimated their enemy. Failure number two, and this is fatal, they overestimated their own capacity. And they, the Russian army failed to tell their own soldiers where they were going to go and what they were going to do. That is a fatal flaw. You had Russian soldiers running out of gas. Okay, their whole logistics systems, you know, we've, you know, talked about this a lot, that the Russians don't know logistics. But you had at the individual crewman, tank crewman level, they run out of gas. They said, no worries, we'll just go to the gas station over here and borrow some gas. And they get shot. And they're surprised by the fact that the Ukrainian civilian population is not welcoming them with open arms because they haven't been well prepared. And it's just, as a professional soldier, you know, we're all amazed at how many failures at so many levels we've seen on the Russian front. Well, they are learning, armies learn in the field, and I believe that there were five different outcomes for this. I wrote them down a while back. Stalemate. Okay, you just arrive and the Russians just grind to a halt. They start running out of artillery, munitions, and missiles, and the Ukrainians stop them. Stalemate. Everybody, it's kind of the World War I trench warfare. Everybody is exhausted and stop. Partition. The Russians say, okay, we're going to keep the Donbass. We're going to keep Crimea. Whatever terrain they're able to keep, partition. Decisive victory from the other side. Unlikely in the near term. However, it is more unlikely for the Russians, I believe, than for the Ukrainians. So peace, well, sooner or later, armies get exhausted, countries get exhausted, and you can arrive at that. And then, not this isn't, you know, my analysis, but somebody says the black swan event, something completely either unexpected or unanticipated. They have planned in army training to use battlefield nuclear weapons in the event things are not going well. That's not exactly an unexpected or unanticipated event, but it would be shocking to see the deployment of a small nuclear weapon to demonstrate we are not happy with the way things are going, or chemical weapons, or something that we don't anticipate, like maybe Belarus attacks, maybe Moldova decides to throw in with Ukraine and flood the zone with Moldovan troops. Who, you know, they're all these things.
Right.
What if NATO brings their navy and cozies up to the Odessa port area, opens up lines of communication to get grain out of Ukraine? Admiral Stavridis, former Supreme Allied Commander of Europe, I mean, he's an advocate for this. And so get a navy going from NATO cozy up to the Russian ships and say, we're not giving up the Black Sea. We're not giving this up as a Soviet, sorry, Russian lake.
Right.
And that, it's not a black swan event, but it is an event that would be very important to transmit to the Russians that their Navy does not have freedom of action, that the NATO Navy feels they have a right to come in and for the good of the world, move grain out of Ukraine.
Paul Eaton, retired Major General, former Chief of Infantry for the United States Army. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Evan, thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.